Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Happy Tuesday, March 10th, 2020 to you all. Go out and vote. If you haven't already, I'm sure many of you got up pretty early with it being a Tuesday and hit the polls. And if you haven't, please do so because, I mean, look, it's one of the most important, arguably the most important right that you have as an American citizen here in these United States of America. I'll be certainly hitting the polls as soon as I get off the air. So please do that. And I want to let you guys know we've got a great show coming your way as we dive into some sports talk here on this Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. Yesterday, the Big Ten All-Conference teams were made public. We also found out who took home the Big Ten Awards, like Big Ten Player of the Year, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Big Ten Coach of the Year. I'm going to give you that list in just a moment, and we're going to expound upon that list a little bit and talk about whether or not the coaches and the media got it right. All right, so we'll talk Big Ten Awards in just a moment. Also, as many of you have been following, what will Tom Brady do? Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. He's the GOAT in my eyes. He will be making one very important decision, whether or not to stay with the New England Patriots organization, the organization in which he has carved out quite the legacy, right? The organization that has embraced him, and you know that's the organization in which he has played for throughout his entire career. Will Tom Brady leave New England and take his football talents, or what's left of his football talents, and go elsewhere? We'll talk about the latest news concerning that decision for Tom Brady. And then also, I want to give you guys an update when it comes to specific pay ranges that new head football coach of the Michigan State football program, Mel Tucker, has handed down. His fellow assistants, we do know a few specifics when it comes to who is getting paid how much on Mel Tucker's coaching staff. So we'll bring that news to you. We'll have reaction there as well. Of course, we are inviting you all to be a part of the show, as we customarily do. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call or text to be a part of the hour. You can weigh in, as many of you are doing right now, at facebook.com/WKAR News. A big shout out to Ben and Steph. Dedicated current sports listeners out there who are actually working the polls for the primary election. So thank you for your time, your generous time there, Ben and Steph. Really appreciate that. And I see you, Mike, also Aaron, many of you tuning in there and commenting below our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. We've got Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start here. Scotty Hazleton, he left Kansas State to coach here under the leadership of Mel Tucker for the Michigan State football program, and he nearly doubled his salary in the process. Check this. Hazleton, who was announced as Mel Tucker's new defensive coordinator on February 28th, he will make an annual base salary of $950,000. That's a lot of cheese. That's according to a contract obtained by MLive via the Freedom of Information Act. He made $550,000 last year as Kansas State's defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. That's according to USA Today. Michigan State is also paying his buyout of $91,667 to Kansas State. Jack writes in my notes here, Brinks truck season. Yeah, you think? Michigan State definitely making it rain in order to ensure that the football program has a solid future. So we'll see what happens. This is not surprising, though, Jack. I mean, Michigan State had to pony up and dish out this kind of cheese if they wanted to make sure that the next chapter of Michigan State football isn't a complete failure, if it is.
No, not a surprise at all. And you know what? It actually shows that I was right with my theory a while ago that Michigan State was holding out on making Harlan Barnett or Mike Tressel their defensive coordinator so they could go after a bigger fish and pay him a bunch of money. But just as a Spartan fan, as a student, it has been such a thrill to see this team have a bunch of money and be able to throw it around to get, you know, high-level assistance, be able to poach a guy from the Big 12 like Scotty Hazleton, because it was just so depressing what D'Antonio's tenure turned into at the end, where he wouldn't move out any of his assistants. To see them going after big fish like Scotty Hazleton, like Vince Murrow, granted they didn't get him, it's just been like such a thrill.
Yeah, and surprising. I didn't think that Michigan State would ever reach this point where they are willing to cough up some dough.
Me neither.
You know what I mean? So we'll have further thoughts on this later on this hour, but yeah, Scotty Hazleton just became a much richer man in taking the job here under Mel Tucker with the Michigan State football program. All right, moving along here. Michigan State men's basketball senior guard Cassius Winston, he was named All Big Ten First Team. And junior forward Xavier Tillman was named as the Defensive Player of the Year for the conference. That was announced yesterday during the Big Ten Network award show at 4 p.m. Winston was an all-Big Ten first-team selection by the coaches and the media, earning a unanimous selection by the coaches. In addition to being named Defensive Player of the Year, Xavier Tillman was an all-Big Ten second-team selection by the coaches and the media and was selected to the all-defensive team. And also a big shout-out to freshie guard Mark Rocket Watts, who was selected to the all-freshman team by the league's coaches. I think a lot of that has to do with the late season push that Rocket exhibited in those final games. He was brilliant when that regular season came down to the wire. So congratulations to Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman, and Rocket Watts. More on those three in just a moment. Also, the Michigan State Men's Basketball Awards banquet, was yesterday. And the Most Valuable Player Award, Team Vote, went to Cassius Winston. The Most Valuable Player Award, Media Vote, went to Xavier Tillman and Cassius Winston. The Scholar Athlete Award, that went to Xavier Tillman. The Unsung Player Award went to Kyle Arnes. The Timbo Gracchus Walk-On Award went to Jack Hoiberg. And I'm actually in the process of getting Tim on the show very soon here. That's my guy. Haven't had him on in a while. Also, the Most Improved Player Award, that went to Gabe Brown. The John E. Bennington Best Defensive Player Award went to none other than Xavier Tillman. The Stephen G. Scoffs Inspirational Player Award went to Kyle Arnes and Cassius Winston. The Jumping Johnny Green Chairman of the Boards Award went to Xavier Tillman. Tillman cleaned up last night. And the Antonio Smith Glue and Guts Award also went to Xavier Tillman. I mean, what more can you say about Xavier Tillman and Cassius Winston, for that matter, and what they mean to this year's Michigan State men's basketball program? All right, Patrick Kortarenko. It looks as though he is signed on to play with the New York Rangers. Undrafted free agent, center, out of Michigan State. Kortarenko, who is 21 years old, scored consistently at the NCAA level for the Spartans. He now takes his talents to New York. I believe I'm saying this right, Jack, but correct me if I'm wrong. Again, you are the hockey expert here on the show, you and Alec. Frank Saravalli?
Saravalli, yeah.
Saravalli of TSN. He reported that news that Kortarenko has agreed to terms with the Rangers. So wishing him well out in New York. All right. There's no bitterness, but no and no resentment, I should say, as the clock ticks down on his last days with the Detroit Lions. But as he heads towards free agency next week, where he's sure to sign a colossal contract with a new team, Graham Glasgow, he does have mixed emotions. Can you believe that the Lions have not decided to re-sign Graham Glasgow? This is what he had to say talking to the Detroit Free Press in a phone interview last night. Quote, "I'm bummed that I'm not able to stay because I love Michigan and I love the Detroit area, Ann Arbor. I've been here for almost a decade now and it's awesome. And I really, really like the guys in the locker room. And I think we have a good team and a good group of guys. So in that regard, it sucks. But you don't play football forever, so I think that being able to go somewhere else and make some money is an exciting thing," end quote. Graham Glasgow, who spent 5 seasons at Michigan football and played the last 4 years with the Detroit Lions, he will be one of the most coveted offensive linemen in a free agent market that should be flush with cash regardless of whether whether players approve a new collective bargaining agreement this weekend or not. So we'll see where Glasgow goes. But, again, this is a former Michigan football player who has played with the Lions, and it looks as though he's going to be elsewhere when it comes to his professional football future. Okay, the Detroit Red Wings will play host to the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, 7:30 p.m., the Wings sitting at 17-48-5. Carolina enters tonight's matchup with a record of 37-25-5. And former Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, he cleared his 4-month medical check last week and has resumed light football-related drills, such as dropping back, throwing, and low-impact running. That's in preparation for the 2020 NFL Draft, which will take place next month. So Tua is working out, very light workouts, but he's trying to get, you know, back in shape and get his body ready. Now, Tua, he sustained a hip dislocation versus Mississippi State in November. That required surgery and ended his prolific career with the Crimson Tide. He had been on measured rehab for months, but has ramped up his on-field work since recently being cleared. Being reported here that this is, I guess, Tua Tagovailoa's doctor, Lyle Kane. Kane said the outlook is as positive as can be at the four-month mark, but the left-handed QB still has several weeks, if not longer, to go before he is in actual shape for NFL-level football activity. So we still got some progress here. The time frame will be based on how his body responds to a steady progression of weight training, running, and drills related to quarterback play. So Tua continues to get healthy. We'll see where he goes in the NFL draft come next month. And, you know, as I stated at the top of the hour, we're going to dive more into this later on, but where will Tom Brady go? Will he return with the New England Patriots, or will he take his football talents elsewhere? But there is another story that is making the headlines concerning Tom Brady, besides, of course, his big decision in the 2020 offseason. It looks as though he has started a production company. Yeah, Brady did something that could indicate that he's interested possibly in moving out west. In an exclusive interview with Deadline, Brady announced that he was launching 199 Productions, which is described as a global multi-platform content company to develop original premium content, including documentaries, feature films, and also television shows. Now, the company has assembled a slate of development projects that include several with Brady on camera and stories spanning sports, entertainment, health and wellness, among others. And it looks as though Tom Brady, he created this company with the Russo brothers. Now, if you are not an entertainment fan and don't know who in the world the Russo brothers are, they're pretty big in the world of television and film. They actually directed one of the biggest movies of all time, Avengers Endgame.
Okay, you could put me into that category. I had no idea who they were.
Well, I'm not surprised yet. We had this conversation yesterday about how you're not a big entertainment guy.
No,
so,
not at all.
Yeah, the Russo brothers, they're huge. They are absolutely huge. They directed Avengers Endgame, which, please tell me, Jack, you've seen Avengers
Endgame. Yes, I have seen Avengers Endgame. Okay. Yeah.
Good. One of the biggest movies of all time. But yeah, that's those are the Russo brothers. So Tom Brady isn't just partnering with anybody here. He, you know, that adds some credibility to a lot of credibility, I should say, to 199 Productions. So maybe he goes out west. I don't know. We'll see. And last but certainly not least, this story broke yesterday evening, but in a joint statement from the NHL, the NBA, the MLS, and the MLB. Check this. This is what the statement read. Quote, after consultation with infectious disease and public health experts, and given the issues that can be associated with close contact in pre- and post-game settings, all team locker rooms and clubhouses will be open only to players and essential employees of teams and team facilities until further notice. Media access will be maintained in designated locations outside of the locker room and clubhouse setting. These temporary changes will be effective beginning with today's games and practices. We will continue to closely monitor this situation and take any further steps necessary to maintain a safe, and welcoming environment. Again, that's just a bit of what the joint statement coming from Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, the National Basketball Association, and Major League Soccer had to say concerning what they are doing to try and ensure that players and personnel are safe from the coronavirus. And I can't really blame them, Jack. I mean, this thing is continuing to grow. When you talk about a professional athlete, I mean, your body is how you make your money. You know, especially, I mean, in some of these leagues like the NBA, which is coming down to the wire in the season and the playoffs are knocking on the door, you want to make sure that your athletes are in tip-top shape and not, like, sidelined due to the coronavirus. So everybody, you know, including these leagues, are taking every necessary precaution. I saw that Ohio State University has actually canceled classes in person for the rest of this month. And, you know, I've been having conversations with personnel here at Michigan State University that something similar may be down the pike.
Yeah, there are rumors that that's going to be happening here. I'm going to sit back and hope that that just doesn't happen, but we'll see.
That's crazy, right? I mean, it just shows you how
sounds
serious,
horrible.
How serious this thing is becoming. And I'm every time I turn on the local news and national news on the daily, you know, this is the story. I know that, I touched on how the coronavirus has been affecting the sports world. And, you know, multiple leagues out there, you know, especially international soccer leagues, they have decided to close off matches from the fans, from the public. You know, it's been rumored that the NCAA tournament may be doing something similar come March Madness. But as of right now, it will proceed as normal. But it's very serious. Be safe out there. Wash your hands. All right, you should have been washing your hands prior to this, but you get my point here. All right, but major news there. Major news there. I'm also told that concerning a few of these leagues, they're telling media members that you have to stay like 8 feet away from athletes while you're trying to do your job and interview athletes. It's really serious right now. So, okay, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call or text to be a part of the hour. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is there. Comment below that live stream. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me at my Twitter handle of @AlMartinWKAR. I mean, really, there's no better sound in the world of sports around this time of the year than that music right there. Yes, the NCAA tournament is right around the corner.
Onions!
That's right. Bill Rafferty. I love that. Onions. Gotta love rap. You know, some people, you know, he's one of those guys that you either love or you hate. You know, same thing with Dickie V.
Who hates Raf?
Oh, there's some people, man.
I've never heard anyone say anything bad about Raf.
He's too extra. Just type in Bill Rafferty in your Twitter search bar, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Because you know, Raf can be Raf. He can be a little too much Raf at times. Onions, a little kiss, all that stuff.
Well, there was an article from The Athletic, I think, today, and it kind of stressed that, you know, what separates Raf from other guys like Dickie V is that I don't think he overdoes it with his catchphrases.
I like it.
He kind of leaves you wanting more. He doesn't pound the onions or the get the lingerie off the deck. He doesn't pound any of those sayings into the dirt. Yeah. That's why I think he's more likable.
Right, right. Which I love Raf. I mean, I remember when, you know, before they took the NCAA video games off market, you know, I had a copy of the NCAA men's basketball game on my Xbox. And, you know, Raf one day was, and that was really like my introduction to Bill Rafferty. I had no idea who he was until I purchased that video game long, long time ago. And, you know, he was a voice on the video game. I'm like, man, this dude is so fun. He's just, you know, he had all his catchphrases in there, just very cool stuff. But, you know, it's just a great time of the year. You know, Jim Nance and his smooth velvet voice will be blaring through your television very, very soon. I think Grant Hill, I think the main crew for CBS, and they broadcast the national championship, is Bill Rafferty, Grant Hill, and Jim Nantz. Those three do an excellent job. You know, not too long ago, though, Jack, they had Grant Hill during the NBA All-Star game, that historic NBA All-Star game. Chris Webber got sick, and so like last minute, Turner Sports is scrambling to see who they can get to broadcast a game alongside Marv Albert and Reggie Miller. And they hit up Grant, and Grant, you know, got on the mic. And Grant was just, I'll just say he's more suited for the tournament, the NCAA tournament, because in a relaxed environment where you're cracking jokes, that's what Chris Webber does all the time alongside Reggie Miller. That's not really his forte. So it was a little bit awkward hearing Grant Hill do the NBA All-Star game. So,
sure. So kind of like when,
out of his element.
So kind of like when they had the TNT guys, Ernie Johnson and Shaq and Charles Barkley, do the college basketball show like
right,
a year,
you know,
or two ago.
I liked them on that show.
That was a disaster, Al.
They do it all the time, though. You know, they brought them. They've been a part of the NCAA college basketball broadcast for like at least 5 years now.
Really? I've only seen it the last couple. They don't know enough of the players.
They don't. That's what
That's
makes it
the
fun.
Problem.
Because Charles Barkley is just so entertaining, and he does not know a lot about the college game. So they get stuck in just kind of like with Kenny and Ernie. Don't get me wrong. Ernie knows his stuff. Ernie does his homework. But I'm talking about, you know, Charles and Kenny. They don't know much of the college game, Kenny more so than Charles, that they just break down the X's and the O's of what they saw. But as far as, like, providing historical context, seasonal context to these teams, it's like, okay, they're the wrong guys to be asking. But Charles and Kenny, they're just so fun on camera that, you know, they make up for that lack of knowledge. It's fun, though, man. This time of the year is here. Also, Detroit sports fans, tomorrow you will be able to legally place a bet in a Detroit casino on sports. Tomorrow, the sports book opens. Isn't that amazing? I've been talking to a few friends of mine who live in the D, and especially my homie Ahmad. He is like going crazy right now. He's like, I'm going to be at that sports book tomorrow all day just kicking it. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be, you know, because anything new in society, Jack, it is going to be so packed, unnecessarily packed with people at sports books in Detroit tomorrow just because it's new. It's never happened before. I'm sure the local news will be there interviewing people as they stand in line looking to place that first official bet. But it's exciting. It comes just in time the week of the NCAA tournament, officially beginning on Sunday, I should say. The postseason tournaments are beginning this week as well. But just an exciting time, man. An exciting, exciting time. And you know what else was exciting was watching the Big Ten award show on the Big Ten Network yesterday and seeing a few Spartans get some justly deserved shout-outs. Just awesome stuff because, you know, when you look at the hardware that was handed out yesterday, there were a few Michigan State players on those lists that deserve to be on those lists. I'll just kind of comb through just real quick here. I'm going to go through the coaches ballot first. First team, Luca Garza, Anthony Cohen Jr., Jalen Smith, Cassius Winston, Lamar Stevens. So Cassius Winston earns first team selection there. On the media side of things, Cassius Winston was also on the media All Big Ten first team alongside Luca Garza, Jalen Smith, Lamar Stevens, and Ayo Dosunmu of Illinois. And Xavier Tillman, as I mentioned in the headliners, he took home Big Ten DPOY. Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And, of course, Xavier Tillman was also named to the All-Big Ten Defensive Team. Rocket Watts made the Big Ten All-Freshman Team. And also want to give another shout-out to Xavier Tillman. He took home a lot of hardware. I mean, the hardware he took home yesterday from the Big Ten Conference and then at the Michigan State awards banquet for men's basketball. I mean, Xavier Tillman, he's got a lot of hardware coming in the mail or that he received directly yesterday. But Xavier Tillman made second team All Big Ten as well, alongside Xavier Simpson, Daniel Oturo, Caleb Wesson, and Ayo Dosunmu on the coaches side of things and on the media side of things. Xavier Tillman was second team alongside Xavier Simpson, Anthony Cowan Jr., Daniel Oturo, and Caleb Wesson. So, and as I mentioned in the headliners, Rocket Watts being named to the All Big Ten freshman team, that had a lot to do with his late season push for the Spartans, because you know that beginning and middle part of the year for Rocket Watts, he was still figuring things out. I believe that he was still trying to cater to Tom Izzo a little bit too much and not play his game being the bona fide scorer that he is. I thought that he was just trying to just make sure he's passing the ball, moving the ball, you know, not taking bad shots, which takes him away from what he does best, and that's score. And I thought that throughout much, if not all, of the season, Rocket Watts was a fantastic defender as a guard in the Big Ten Conference. So, salute. As far as Big Ten Coach of the Year, I thought that Izzo had a chance, but realistically, I didn't think he was going to win. Even though I really believe that he should have gotten, and I don't know how much consideration he did get in the eyes of the coaches and the media, because I think that when you're Tom Izzo and when you are already a basketball Hall of Famer, when you have accomplished everything that Tom Izzo has accomplished, you know, we take greatness for granted. Sure, Michigan State won the Big Ten championship. You know why? It's because they are coached by Tom Izzo and they should win the Big Ten championship. It's what they do. That's the kind of culture that has been bred here at Michigan State, where you just start expecting it to the point where you kind of become spoiled as a fan witnessing it. You just say to yourself, yeah, we expect this. So I don't know how, even though when you look at what Tom Izzo did, you know, as I stated on yesterday's Current Sports, I mean, for Tom Izzo to be able to coach this team to a third straight, and by the way, again, he's the only coach to win the Big Ten championship 3 years in a row, not once but twice, which is an amazing accomplishment in itself. But this year in particular, to balance dealing with the tragedy that was losing Cassius Winston's brother, which had a ripple effect on that entire roster, with trying to figure things out when it looked like Michigan State during that stretch in February, where they lost four or five games, that only win in that span coming against Michigan, and it looked like Michigan State was totally out of the race, to finish the way they did, it was one of the best coaching jobs we've ever seen from Tom Izzo. But he's Tom Izzo. And I just think, you know, again, we take greatness for granted far too many times. Nothing against Greg Gard, though, because, you know, as I also stated, nobody had Wisconsin winning the Big Ten this year. This is a team that figured some things out as the year went along. I didn't know this until watching the show yesterday, the Big Ten Awards show yesterday, that one of Greg Gard's assistants is going through a tragedy of his own, losing family, you know, his wife and I believe other members of his family to a car accident. Just really tragic stuff. I don't want to misquote who was actually lost in that accident, but I saw a little bit of that yesterday. Yeah, please look that up for me, Jack. But I know his name is something more, because they're saying,
yeah, it's Howard Moore.
Howard Moore, who actually, I believe Howard Moore was on the Big Ten Network as a basketball analyst at one point. But yeah, Howard Moore is going through his own tragedy, and that has had a direct effect on the team as well. So Greg Gard has also had to try and coach through that as well. And can you give us the details on that, Jack? Do you have it?
Correct. It was pretty much, it was about a month after the season ended last year. It was Howard Moore's wife and his daughter tragically passed away in a car accident. Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, you know, as a coach trying to do your job when something like that has taken place.
I don't believe he's been with the team this year, has he?
I don't believe so. I believe he's been present from time to time.
Yeah.
He's showing up from time to time. But like when they won the Big Ten championship over the weekend, he wasn't present, but he did talk to Moore a little bit after that.
Yeah, he has not coached this season at all.
He hasn't coached this season. But you know, the guys at the Big Ten Network, they were talking about how much of an impact that has had on the team. Greg Gard, I think, is deserving of that honor. There was a part of me that thought that the conference may have gone with Mark Turgeon, but Maryland, you know, the way they closed the season, I think that's what did in Coach Turgeon. The way Maryland closed out the season was not great. They did not look like the same team that we had seen during the middle of the year, Jack.
No, let's just bottom line it. I mean, they had the regular season championship locked up with about 2 weeks left to go, and they dropped several games, and because of that, they have to share it with Michigan State and Wisconsin.
Definitely. They could have run this thing outright. So that's what hurt Coach Turgeon's campaign for Big Ten Coach of the Year. But, you know, salute. Salute to Greg Gard. He has done an amazing, amazing job. And again, the Big Ten tournament officially will begin tomorrow, starting at 6 p.m. 13 seed Northwestern will take on 12 seed Minnesota, and then around 8:30 p.m. So after Northwestern and Minnesota finish up in Indianapolis, you will see Nebraska as the 14 seed take on Indiana, the 11 seed, at 8:30 p.m. On Thursday, 9 seed Michigan takes on 8 seed Rutgers at noon. So we'll be on the air on Thursday when that game is taking place. So we'll have to give you guys score updates when Michigan and Rutgers are going at it. Iowa plays the winner of Northwestern and Minnesota. Purdue and Ohio State. 10 seed Purdue, 7 seed Ohio State. Iowa is the 5th seed, by the way. They will tip off at 6:30 p.m., approximately 6:30 p.m., Purdue and Ohio State. And then the late game on Thursday is going to be Penn State, who is the 6th seed, taking on the winner of Nebraska and Indiana. And then on Friday at noon, you'll have the winner of Michigan and Rutgers taking on number 1 seed Wisconsin.
With Jack Kerwin in attendance.
You will be there. Jack Kerwin will be there. You're going there as a spectator.
Yeah, you know, for the first time in like 2 years, I'm watching Michigan State as a fan, not covering them, yeah?
Exactly. You'll be there as a spectator with your family, with your dad, right? You guys are Illinois fans, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, he went to Illinois. Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a Michigan State fan before Illinois, but yeah, both. Yep.
Definitely. So you'll be present for that one, Jack, as Illinois will play the winner of whoever Iowa plays. But you know, in Iowa will play the winner of Northwestern and Minnesota, as I stated. And then on Friday, Michigan State will play the winner of Purdue and Ohio State at 6:30. And then the late game on Friday, 9 p.m. tip time approximately, is going to be number 3 seed Maryland taking on whoever Penn State plays between Nebraska and Indiana. So that's how it looks right now. You know, I read something crazy, man. You know, a lot of people have been asking me thoughts on Michigan right now. I really don't know. You know, Michigan is a very unpredictable team right now. I believe they have a lot of pieces that can you know, allude to a nice run come the NCAA tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan got to Sunday. I mean, I really believe they have a lot of pieces that can make it a matchup problem for whoever they play. But I also see some inconsistencies for Juwan Howard's team in his first season. You know, something remarkable. I didn't know this. Throughout John Beilein's tenure as head coach of the Michigan men's basketball program, John Beilein, he never lost an opening game in the Big Ten tournament. That first game that he played, whether it was, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, John Beilein never lost that first game. That's pretty impressive stuff. And for Michigan State, you know, in Tom Izzo, talk about consistency. Michigan State has always played on that Friday of the Big Ten tournament. They have always played on a Friday. Whether that means they opened up on a Thursday, they made it to Friday. They made it to Friday. Michigan State has always played on the Friday of a Big Ten tournament. That's just crazy, crazy consistency. But you guys know how I feel about the Big Ten tournament. I mean, the Big Ten tournament is the Big Ten tournament. It's these conference tournaments, you know, it doesn't really make that much of an impact in my eyes for Michigan State. Cool, you know, another accomplishment, another feather in the hat if they do indeed win the Big Ten tournament. That'd be nice. But it more so impacts those teams who are on the bubble, who are on the fringe of not making the Big Dance. You know, a team like, you know, an Indiana, which is crazy. I didn't think Indiana would be in this position right now. I think they're a much more talented team than what that 11 seed alludes to. But a team like, you know, Nebraska, Indiana, what if Northwestern comes out of nowhere? That won't happen. But you get what I'm saying here. But for Michigan State, if Michigan State was to win the Big Ten tournament, Jack, they're not going to become a 2 seed. They're staying at 3 or 4 in my eyes.
See, that's what I thought. But seeing Joey Brackett's latest bracket, I think they're the second 3 seed, aren't they? So by that, I mean, if they win the Big Ten tournament, I think they might be able to get up to a 2 seed. Now, here's what's
highly unlikely.
That's probably true. Here's what I'm actually afraid of if they get moved up to a 2 seed is, you know what's great about them being a 3 seed right now? Is that Duke is also a 3 seed. So if you're on the same seed line as Duke, the math would suggest that you can't get put in the same bracket as them. So in my estimation, there would be nothing worse than jumping up to the 2 line only to be rewarded by getting put into Duke's bracket.
But hey, you know, it's a brave new world now.
No, it is not. No, it is not. No, it is not.
You're not buying that.
No,
it's like a Kenny Goins miracle.
We got lucky to get out of that one. I don't want to do that again.
Okay, you're not buying into, you know.
No, I mean, there is no team. I will say this: there is no team in all of sports I dislike more than Duke. Okay. And so that being said, beating Duke last season to get to the Final Four was like the most rewarding moment I've ever had in sports.
It was amazing.
But I don't know if I want to live through the stress again and then the very real possibility that State gets bounced by Duke.
Right. And I tell you what, though, you can't deny this, Jack. This Duke team looks incredibly vulnerable. I know
Al,
it's still Duke.
Al, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it.
I know you don't want to buy into it.
I can't do it.
It's still Coach K. It's still Duke. And Michigan State and Tom Izzo, that's been a bugaboo of his going against Duke. He just has not beaten Duke quite often. What, twice? Right.
He is now 2-12 after this game last December, which, by the way, came on the heels of Duke losing to a Stephen F. Austin team. They still came out and curb stomped Michigan State at the Breslin Center.
Yep, it's something about Duke, man. It's something about that blue that Tom Izzo just does not like. It does something to them. So, but this Duke team does look a bit vulnerable. I'll just say that. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I do want to elaborate more on the Big Ten awards and just touch on, you know, Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman, Rocket Watts. And we'll also tell you if you haven't heard about, you know, there are some details that have been coming out about the contract totals when it comes to Mel Tucker's assistant coaching staff. We'll touch on that as well. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And before I proceed here, I do want to give a big, big, big shout out to one of my favorite guys here in local sports media, my guy Ernie Boone of the Michigan Chronicle. We've had Ernie on multiple times throughout my tenure here at Michigan State for WKAR. One of my favorite guests. He turned 78 today. Ernie Boone of the Michigan Chronicle. I'm sure I'll see Ernie, you know, as Michigan State hopefully makes a deep run in the tournament. But Ernie Boone is 78 years old. I see his lovely daughter, Dia, you know, giving him a shout out in a Facebook post today. So, Ernie, love you, dude. Enjoy your birthday. 78 looking like 25. All right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number you can call or text if you want to be a part of the show. A few of you weighing in on social media as well, and a few of you giving a big shout-out to Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman, and Rocket Watts for earning some conference accolades yesterday from the Big Ten Conference. And deservingly so. You know, I don't see how, and the only reason I'm touching on this is because my guy, I'm going to call him out, my guy Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, he has been taking a lot of flack based on what he tweeted out and how he believes, and he truly believes this. You know, one thing about Graham, I don't believe Graham puts out stuff that he doesn't believe. I know him. He's not that kind of guy. You know, he's not one of those clickbait journalists. Graham is a guy who thinks differently. If you've read a Graham Couch column or a Graham Couch piece, you know that. He is a fantastic journalist. And, you know, why I believe Graham is so good is he does not have the same mind as many of us when it comes to the world of sports. And this is just indicative of that. This is just another example of that. You know, not having Cassius Winston as a first-team selection, it we all know, Graham, you're completely wrong here. Completely wrong. And I did hear how he, you know, justified this on his show this week and on Twitter. But, you know, this is one of those things where it's a no-brainer. I mean, and this is the question that I asked. Jack, if you had, okay, let's just say, if you know, let's just play with this idea for a moment, that Cassius Winston is not a first-team selection. Really think about this. What other guard are you putting over Cassius Winston? What other guard out there can you legitimately say is better than Cassius Winston in the Big Ten Conference?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Nobody. Absolutely not.
So with that being said, and I'm not trying to, like, dumb it down here, but that's the question you ask here. I mean, when picking these, you know, first-team, second-team selections here, that's what you have to ask yourself. And in my opinion, this is how I feel about when looking at the National Player of the Year race. Look, nobody was better than Luka Garza. Luka Garza's numbers, so eye-popping, so good, there was no better player in the Big Ten Conference right now. But Cassius Winston wasn't too far off this season. It was Luka Garza for me, and then Cassius Winston when it came to Big Ten Player of the Year. And with the exception of a few performances from Cassius that were un-Cassius-like, he had a few this season. Other than those, Cassius Winston was brilliant. And I thought next to Luka Garza, if you didn't go Luka Garza, you had to go Cassius Winston in that voting. You know, and there are other names you can bring up. You know, look, Lamar Stevens, great year for him. You know, you can bring up Jalen Smith from Maryland. He was great. Ayo Dosunmu out in Illinois, he has been fantastic. But for me, when looking at this conference this season, Luka Garza and Cassius Winston just stood out from the rest. I don't know. Some people feel differently, surprisingly, about that. You know, I've seen actually a lot of people advocate for Anthony Cowan, and you know, who is a great guard. Anthony Cowan is fantastic, but he ain't no Cassius Winston. I'm sorry. He's just not. So I had to address that because, you know, Graham took a lot of heat for it, and justifiably so. I don't understand that. I just think, you know, you're thinking a little bit too hard there. If you're not putting Cassius Winston as an all conference first team selection in the Big Ten, that just makes no sense to me. So I don't know if you got anything to say. I just wanted to address that, Jack.
Well, I mean, the one thing you can definitely say about Graham and his time in East Lansing is he's definitely not afraid to have an opinion that differs from other people's, right? And I'm not trying to tear anybody down because Ayo Dosunmu is a great player who had a great year. But I agree with you. Like, it's as simple as Cassius Winston. When you talk about, you know, who was the best point guard in the Big Ten this year, there really isn't a debate as far as I'm concerned. Ayo Dosunmu is a great player, and Graham is entitled to his opinion, but no, I can't identify with it even a little bit.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I wanted to touch upon that. And then, you know, Xavier Tillman, I mean, what more can you say about him when it comes to him winning? Which, isn't this mind-boggling, though? This also blows my mind when I was thinking about this. I'm watching, you know, that award show yesterday. The fact that, you know, Xavier Tillman, he wins Big Ten Player of the Year. And do you...
Defensive Player of the Year.
Thank you, Jack. Defensive Player of the Year. And do you know, when you look at, as voted on by the coaches, the all-defensive team for the Big Ten Conference, this is what the all-defensive team read. Jalen Smith, Daniel Oturu, Jamari Wheeler, Nojel Eastern, and then you had Xavier Tillman. There's a name that's not on that list, Jack, that is a top 10 finalist name when it comes to the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year Award. You know who that man is, right?
I do, but I also think we're talking about Jeff Jackson Simpson out of the University of Michigan. Am I correct? But I would also say that...
Like what? Hold on. This dude, like Xavier Simpson, isn't even on the All-Big Ten defensive first team. Well, all-defensive team, because there's not a first or second team.
Right.
Well, how they do is, he's not even on the all-defensive team for the conference, but he's a top 10 finalist for the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year.
But I actually think the Big Ten probably had this one right, and that the national list is probably the one that's wrong. Because the reality
is,
this season, Xavier Simpson's not the best defender on his own team. I would say it's Franz Wagner. So
you could argue that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Xavier Simpson has been known to be a great defender in his 4 years at Michigan. And it's one of those things where probably just based on his name alone, he got a lot of recognition. And that's probably why he's on that list.
Definitely. They pulled the trigger too early with coming out with that top 10 list. And Xavier Tillman should have been listed as a top 10 defender when it comes to that award, national award. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. Okay, I'm done. Hit our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about, I'll touch on Scotty Hazleton and the details that we know about his new contract as a coordinator under Mel Tucker for the MSU football team. And also Tom Brady. What will Tom Brady do? Will he remain with the New England Patriots or take his talents elsewhere? You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, 4 minutes left here in the hour. Just want to address this. If you have not heard details when it comes to Scotty Hazleton's contract under the leadership of Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker, the new head coach of the MSU football program. Scotty Hazleton was hired as Tucker's new defensive coordinator on February 28th, and Hazleton will make an annual base salary of $950,000 a year, just shy of a mil. How about that? He made $550,000 last year at Kansas State, so this is a significant pay raise. And, you know, and Jack and I, we touched on this during the headliners, but I am, as a Michigan State fan, you have to be a bit thrilled here that Michigan State is willing to pony up the money to hire great talent. If you want great talent, and if you want a fair shot at winning, you have to be able to cut the check.
What's a fair shot at winning in college football? Nothing's fair in college football. Everyone's on a different plane with each other, but at least State's ponying up the money now.
They're ponying up the money because you need just to have a chance, Jack. If you want a chance, you have to give yourself a chance. And what I mean by that is you gotta be willing to kind of put yourself out there and say, all right. I mean, it's not like Michigan State doesn't have the money. I mean, this is a Big Ten university. It's had immense success over the years. They got the moolah. And finally, they're willing to say, all right, let's go out there. And they had to. They were forced. This was the only way this was going to happen, Jack. And if their hand was forced, they needed somebody to come in last minute and take the job because D'Antonio left at such a bad time. They had to throw the bag at Mel Tucker. And Mel Tucker would only come here if you continue to throw the bag at me so that I can hire some guys that I think can do the job up to my standard. Their hand was forced here.
Yeah, absolutely, because of D'Antonio and his timing in announcing his retirement. But let me ask you this. Did you know that Michigan State had the money prior to them making this hire?
Yes.
I didn't think they did.
I thought they did. Well, the conversations, I can't name any names, but the conversations that I have with the people that I know here at this university.
Man, that's a humble brag right there.
Yeah.
Insider Al Martin, all right?
I'm just saying. The conversations I've had with those individuals, I'll just leave it there. Also want to know, Ron Burton, some details concerning his contract have come out. And it looks as though, let me make sure I'm getting this right. He signed a 2-year deal that will pay him $510K a year. Burton's last contract, so for comparison's sake here with the minute left, Burton's last contract as MSU's defensive tackles coach, that paid him a base salary of $424K per season. So 510, 424, not too crazy, but it's a pay raise.
No, absolutely. And he's a big time assistant, probably one of the few that was left as a holdover from D'Antonio. So Right. Absolutely good to keep him around and give him that raise.
All right. Well, we're out of time, folks. We'll be back at it. We'll be really diving into some Big Ten tournament talk on tomorrow's show. So we'll continue some postseason men's college hoops chatter on the hump day edition of the show. But until then, have a great Tuesday. Get out and vote if you haven't done so. I'm going right now. Be easy, people.